for some insight on that story. We're now joined by Mohammed Owais, who is a Middle East expert, joining us on the line from Washington. Mr. Owais, thank you for joining our broadcast. Now, surely by this 12th day of protests, even Mubarak's Arab allies must be wondering if their friend is not as powerful as he once was.
You know, the issue here at hand is the Mubarak regime and the Egyptian situation. One have to wonder where is the army standing now, the Egyptian army. From my analysis, I think the Egyptian army is the safety pin for Egypt as a country to stay together. But they need to distance themselves from Mubarak and from his regime in order for the country to be stable after the Mubarak clan and his cronies and his thieves flee the country or be put in jail. So if the army is seen as taking sides with the president, it's going to be a disaster that the demonstrators and the people who are in the Tahrir Square are going to take over and destroy the government buildings and everything that have to do with the old government. If Mr. Tantawi, the head of the army, who is viewed as a clean, one of the cleanest guys in the army, in the Egyptian army, if he cares about Egypt, he needs to distance himself from the president and ask all these guys, these crooks who are in the palace there, in the presidential palace, including Omar Suleiman, ask them to leave or they will be forced to leave. They need to take the cover like President Barack Obama here lifted the cover off of the Egyptian government. I think it's time for the Egyptian army to lift the cover off of that dictator and give him an ultimatum, give him 2-3 days. To give back the money he stole, and there are reports talking about him and his family owning $40 to $50 billion, more than Bill Gates, the wealthiest man in the world. Hosni Mubarak have amassed that much money on a salary of $50,000 a year. He amassed in 30 years $50 billion, him and his sons and his cronies. So if there is any a peaceful resolution to this issue in Egypt, I think the army have to take sides, and they have to take the side of the demonstrators, or otherwise the army will be looked upon as the enemy of the people, and then it will be a disaster. I heard a lot of reports about the Egyptian revolution as an Islamic revolution. I want to really disagree with the people who are talking like that. 85% of the Egyptian people are practicing Muslims. So it is not an Islamic revolution. It's a revolution by Muslims, yes, but it is not based in theology. It is based on human rights and the rights of the people and oppression. And Islam is a uniting power behind this revolution, but it is not the power for the resolution, for this revolution. Therefore, we see the Christians of Egypt are partners with the Muslims, and they are talking, including the Jewish synagogue, the Jews who still live in Egypt from long time ago, from thousands of years. They are saying during the regime of Hosni Mubarak, they felt unsafe. Now they have their places of worship, and nobody attacked them, and they feel they are part of this revolution, and they are asking for their rights alongside their brothers, the Muslims in the country. It is by no means it is an Islamic revolution, but by all means I want to say that Islam will be part and the guiding part of this new, the coming government, and it's going to be more merciful than all these dictators who ruled Egypt for the last, 40 years, from the days of Anwar Sadat to the days of Hosni Mubarak.
Now, Mr. Owais, as a PR strategies go, Mubarak has essentially tried it all. He spoke twice to his countrymen, has arrested, detained, frozen bank accounts of people close to him who are seen as corrupt, yet the people have not backed down, as you mentioned as well. Is his image beyond rehabilitation?
listen, his image was tarnished for the last maybe 10 years. His image has been very bad in Egypt. And that is what brought the people down to the street, because of his image and the way he treated his people. And the way, since 2011, let me say this, since 2011, he was a subcontractor for the CIA to torture people who were caught in Pakistan and Afghanistan, who were brought to Egypt to be tortured into submission and into admitting to crimes they did not commit. And the enforcer of that rule was Omar Suleiman. So these guys are partners in crime. And it has been building up for 30 years. It built up for 30 years, but I think the straw that became much heavier was since 2011 until now, he sold away his dignity, the dignity of his people, and after the 2009 attacks against Gaza, the Israeli invasion of Gaza, or the attempted invasion of Gaza, have really put him on the defensive, and he continued with his policy in dealing with the Zionist entity in order to bring down the Islamic movement, not in Palestine. He was trying to contain Hamas and starve the Palestinian people in order to send a message to the Brotherhood Muslims inside Egypt itself to tell them, this is what I'll do to you if you say anything. So he have, the man is crazy. The man, I think, is senile. He does not hear his people. And he doesn't, I mean, nobody expects his people to hear him anymore. He can talk. It's like barking in the wilderness. Nobody's going to hear him. And he is finished. His regime is finished. And I don't think the revolution in Egypt and the leaders of the revolution and the people on the street are going to allow the for Omar Suleiman to encircle them and to find a creative, like they are talking about, a creative solution in order to save face for this dictator and to keep him in Egypt. And I heard another guy today who I've known him from Washington, and then he moved to Egypt and to Qatar, and from Qatar to Beirut, who works for the Carnegie Endowment, Omar Hamzawi, who everybody was suspicious of his the way he works. He was talking as if he represents the revolution, and he was saying that we found a solution, that he will be an honorary president. Nobody's going to honor this man. If they are going to honor him, they are going to bury him underground. He's going to be buried like the Shah. He is going to be buried away from his country if he does not give in right now and let the people rule themselves and bring back the money he stole. Him and all these people, and the list of names is very, very, very big. All the money they stole from the government and from the people of Egypt, or otherwise, there is no, they may have safe places to go to, but they are not going to be safe from the reach of the law and the international law, where they have to give back the money they stole and to give back the land they stole to the people of Egypt and to the revolution.
So, sir, why is it then that no one, publicly at least, be it in Africa, the Middle East, the EU, or the US, has come outright and told Mubarak explicitly that enough is enough and that he has to leave now?
First of all, many people said it, but still, this is an Egyptian revolution led by the Egyptians, funded by the Egyptians, and no matter what they say, the revolution does not need not the Arabs, not the Muslim world, not the Europeans, not the Americans, to help them convince this dictator to leave. They will do it on their own. They are capable on their own. In fact, I think what is happening now, that nobody is accepting even to offering him a safe haven, and that is what's happening to him. You know, the former dictator of Tunis, he did not have a safe haven. He was up in the air shopping for a place to hide, and he should be thankful to King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia. He allowed him to land, or otherwise his airplane would have fell out of the sky like a fly, because he was running out of fuel and he could not find any place to go to. And I think Mubarak is having that same problem. He doesn't have a country that will host him and all these thieves around him, because they know that the rule of law and the international law and the Interpol will be looking for them whenever the new government of Egypt, the new constitution of Egypt, will come after them in order to see where the money is and to try them for war crimes against the Egyptian people. Remember, they just tortured somebody. The latest the trigger victim was in Alexandria. They tortured the guy to death, and now there are a lot of people disappearing. The head of Google Egypt, the guy who was leading in the revolution, in this revolution, he disappeared, and nobody knows where he is. That is a crime. That's a crime against, that is a criminal act. If they kill the guy, it was Mubarak's government that took him. It was the Omar Suleiman intelligence service that took him, and these leaders are responsible for what happens to this guy and to all these people who are being killed in the street. And they are the ones who are giving these thugs the ability to go down on horses and donkeys like them and camels in order to attack people and to hurt peaceful demonstrators, peaceful people, peaceful Muslim people who are praying on the street, and they are throwing stones at them and Molotov cocktails. So this regime holds on to power, the better the chances for the people of Egypt to try them and bring them back, no matter where they are. Even if they run away to Israel, they will get them, they'll bring them back and try them for crimes against Egypt and its people.
Right. All right, we will have to leave it there for now. That was Mohammed Owais, Middle East expert, joining us on the line from Washington. Mr. Owais, we appreciate your insight here at Press TV.